And what we want to do as the people, we want to make them irrelevant, okay? So instead of being grumpy and all the time talk about how bad they are, let's just make them irrelevant, okay? So it's just like, okay, let's just have a real talk, no censorship.
Welcome back, friends, to the Boiling Frogs Post Roundtable, the BFPR, or is it the Boiling Frogs Post Roundtable anymore? That is really the question on the table for today. Let me explain. Today we have lined up Sibel Edmonds of BoilingFrogsPost.com, of course, and Peter B. Collins of PeterBCollins.com, and we have Pepe Escobar, roving reporter and man around town, to talk about a new media venture that we have at least broached this topic before on the roundtable, you might remember. Now it has a name, it has a face, it's starting to come together, and ultimately it will only come together through the support of all the people out there listening. So let's start by putting it on the table. The new media venture is called NewsBud, and, well, Sibel, you're here. Why don't you tell us what this is all about, how it came together, what you are planning to accomplish with this new media venture?
Well, I guess in a way you can call it some sort of an evolution from where I started, where we started as partners and associates with Boiling Frogs Post. But then one of the things that I came to into realization of was the fact that we are seeing three different categories of media landscape or platforms out there. Of course, one is mainstream media. We all know about them. Mega corporations, advertisement brand, and of course, they are also connected to the government. So I'm not going to really talk about that. But then with the birth of internet, we started seeing what was dubbed as alternative media sources. And many of those who actually garnered interest and following, they were co-opted by the same people, basically, who run mainstream media and fund mainstream media. Again, you're looking at two categories within this second category, I would say subcategory. One of them would be advertisement model, where you are dependent on the dollars, the money that comes from mega corporations, whether it's Walmart or McDonald's or Viagra or, you know, you name it. Or you have this nonprofit model, which is like a con artistry in many ways. They are set up as 501c3 organizations, so they are exempt from paying tax. So with that, many people don't know about it. When you're a 501c3, if you want to be tax exempt, that comes with the strings attached from the government, because there are hundreds of pages of rules that you have to abide by. So those free tax quota is not coming without any strings attached. But their fundings of these nonprofit so-called alternative media comes from what I refer to, the same mega corporation owners, billionaires, the dynasty families. I mean, you look at people like Rockefeller's foundations, the Koch brothers, of course, the evil of the evil of the evilest, George Soros, who spends tens of millions of dollars, this billionaire sugar daddy, feeding these so-called alternative mediums, you know, the alternative media outlets, 501c3s. Look at them. You know, there are so many of them. They are a dime a dozen. And look at their funding. Most of them, on average, get $8 to $10 million. And if you look at what they are producing zilch. I mean, when you're relative to what they are receiving. And they are absolutely controlled. The same NGOs I was exposed to during my activities with Congress, during my whistleblowing and the organization I set up, they come with strings. First of all, they tell you, these are the people you need to have on your board of advisors, and these are the people you're going to have as your board of directors. This is what you can say, this is what you can't say. Okay? And basically, they don't have to even push it that much, because they get these people, they give them the money, they create that dependency, people's salary depends on them, And then these people, they already self-center because they know that if they don't make their sugar daddies happy, that funding, that grant next year is not going to come. Therefore, they actually self-center. They don't want to piss off their sugar daddies. Let me put it that way. Then the third category is the you have tens of thousands of individual bloggers, okay? And some of them produce really good work. But with 99.999%, many, many of them, they are limited by their resources. You're looking at a one-man or a one-woman shop. And most of these people, almost all of them, have to have daytime job, go work, pay rent, eat. You know, they have families, some of them, to support. So they do it as a part-time. It's almost like hobby-based activities. And there are so many things that they can accomplish, but how could they? Because they have full-time jobs. They don't have the resources. To give you an example, even with our own website, Boiling Frogs Post, almost once every 2-3 months, I get documents from someone who claims to be a whistleblower, okay? Well, to examine that document, James, I need to authenticate it, okay? Now, I know places where I can get the document authenticated, but it costs money to do that. So even with our site, which is a little bit above maybe an individually operated, because we do have some support coming from our readerships, donations, and subscriptions, we are still so limited. And all the people who want to do investigative journalism, you know, really investigative work or productions, they can't. It's like, well, maybe this week I have 2 hours or 3 hours. Anyhow, with NewsBud, what we want to do is we want to have this model that has it all. Okay. One, it has no strings to any of the mega corporations, meaning no advertisements whatsoever. You know, none of those marketing gimmicks or the advertisement gunks. No relations, no relation whatsoever with corporations, mega corporations. Two, we don't want to have anything to do with the sugar daddies. We don't want to have anything to do with those billionaires, whether they are Koch brothers or the evil Soros or the Rockefellers or the Carnegies or the Hewlett-Packard's family. Look at them. Every single one of these major alternative media have the same evil bastards on their list. It's like, oh yeah, 500,000 from this. You know, people don't know many of them, but they should go and look at, for example, Democracy Now. Why would George Soros pay $1.5 million a year to Democracy Now? Is it because he is like a, I don't know, he's this monk, he's this person, altruistic, he has such golden heart, he's a good person, he cares about your liberties, he cares about our liberties. Is that true, Peter? I mean, seriously, nobody pause, or not many people pause and think, why the hell is this guy giving $1.5 million to Democracy Now? What is it for? Unless they truly believe these people are noble people, wonderful people, okay, then they have to really take many of those information that come from these resources, from these outlets, with more than a grain of salt, okay? So that's what we're going to do, no foundations. We want to be a model that says we are 100% people-funded, and with through people's subscriptions, through people's donations, but we also want to be able to counter the other side, the alternative media, well-funded ones, the ones that we talked about, and the mainstream media, with the resources. We want to be able to have a team of investigative journalists all over the country and internationally. We want to be able to have travel budget for these people. We want to be able to have producers who produce regular shows and analysis. So we want to be able to give all that, which to give that, to do that, to be consistent, to be regular, to be able to truly face and counter the other side. We want the resources minus the evildoers, minus the strings. And that basically sums up the model of what we envision and the fact that the only way to get it is through people's support. And the only party you will be accountable to would be the people, meaning, let's say we get this started. Hopefully we will, okay, with your support, people. And we get going. If we don't do well, if we don't do what we are promising, in 1 year they'll put us out of business. They will say, heck with you. I'm not going to support you because you are disappointment, or you are not, you know, you are not delivering what you promised. And very simple. We'll be out of business. That's the model. It's in a way, I know it's one of your favorite words, James. It's what I call volunteerism, and you call, meaning people, they like you. They are satisfied. They see the value in what you're doing. They'll keep you in business. They'll help you expand. They don't. You don't perform. You are not true. You're not sincere. You're out. That sums it up.
Well, that is an awful lot on the plate. So I guess the question is, what content will be lined up for this new outlet? And on that note, I guess we can bring Peter into this conversation. Peter B. Collins, what expertise are you bringing to the table, and what is your role going to be in NewsBud?
What I expect to be doing is to take the daily news and comment podcast that I currently deliver as an audio podcast at peterbcollins.com and upgrade it to a video podcast that would be distributed on the NewsBud platform. And there are two elements there. One came out of our conversation at the roundtable a few months ago, where some of my podcast listeners know that I produce a podcast called Processing Distortion at Boiling Frogs Post, and they've wanted to try to use the same subscription to access both sites. And technically, we weren't able to make that work. And so one of the resolutions of that is to build this new platform, NewsBud, where many different contributors will provide the content, some of which was already being made. Other things will be custom and newly created for NewsBud. And so for me, it's the opportunity to move up, because I understand I'm a radio guy. That's my background. But more and more people who are accessing content on their phones prefer video over audio. They prefer video over text. And with the help of the NewsBud production team, and Sabella's been busy recruiting a lot of talented people to support us off camera, off mic, I'm very excited about being able to produce a daily or nightly news report that will be video instead of just audio. So that's what's in it for me. But I'm also very excited about being able to launch a new and independent platform. And I want to take just one second here to illustrate the importance of independence. This week, the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus finally announced that they are going to retire the show elephants that they have abused for generations. And I know a very talented news anchor who lost their job. I'm not going to identify the gender of this person. But this anchor was one of the top-rated people in the market on the number one news station. And under previous management, there had been great protection, a real firewall for the reporters, and they could investigate fearlessly. But management and ownership changed. And when this anchor did an in-depth study of how Barnum and Bailey treated its elephants and gruesome details about really the barbaric way they were kept and fed and mishandled by trainers, well, the station decided that the advertising money from the circus was more important to them than this talented anchor who had worked for them for 18 years. And this didn't get reported on that station. It didn't get reported anywhere. If I didn't know this person, directly, I wouldn't even know about it. And so most of the overt censorship that takes place is not visible to the consumer of news and information. And unfortunately, most of the people who work in the business no longer have any kind of independence or courage to say, well, if you're going to fire this anchor because this person reported the truth about a major sponsor of this station and the ownership, I'm out of here. Well, nobody left when this anchor was fired. And this is just an example of the way the corporate media in this country is dominated by advertisers. And there are a number of other stories I could tell, but this is the freshest and most recent. And I am delighted for this person that the story that cost the person a very important high-paying job has finally produced a good result. But I think that the people who are watching this can understand that much of what you see on television, and more importantly, the things you don't see, are driven by the interests of advertisers. And when we get to what Sabel likes to call the so-called independent media, well, they are compromised because of their dependence on the foundation funders and sometimes wealthy individuals who provide the money that keep their operations going. And so we are intentionally bypassing these landmines on the road to good reporting, good journalism. And that's why I'm very excited to be a part of NewsBud.
I didn't know about this. This is the first time I heard about it, Peter. I mean, that is just outrageous. It's outrageous. And
not surprising, but yeah.
Same thing with this. I hate it when they call these channels like National Public Radio and they use the word public or right. PBS for it, the same thing. All people have to do is go to this page and I will send you the link, James, and take a look at their funding. They have this pie chart and they are showing, and this is National Public Radio, NPR, public. And you look at the public fund, money that comes from the people is about 30%. And then you look at the money coming from mega corporations, about 20%. And within these, many military industrial complex corporations, mega corporations, $1 trillion corporations are included. Now, if they were to put a disclaimer at the end of each show that deals with the war issues for NPR, I wouldn't have as much problem. For example, if they're talking about Syria or they're talking about Libya or they're talking about Afghanistan or Al-Qaeda, if they would end and then say, by the way, the money for this show came from military industrial complex players, Northrop Grumman and Lockheed Martin and so on and so on, at least they would give people an opportunity to pause and say, yeah, maybe I shouldn't really take what they are saying at its face value, because if they were to report on these wars-related, you know, stories, if they did the real job, those guys wouldn't be funding them. Those millions of dollars wouldn't come from the Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman, etc. Their lifeline, their bloodline is wars. They want more wars. As long as there are wars, they are going to have trillions of dollars. They'll be in business. You take away wars and there will be no Lockheed Martin. There will be no Northrop Grumman. So when you're looking at that Diane Rehm woman and the rest of them talking about war stories, start looking at those dollar signs coming to them, millions of dollars from those war machines. They are reporting, they're getting money from the war machine to report. So even when they give you things that you say, oh my goodness, this is so balanced, really, go back, listen again, you will see there is no such a thing as balance. So that pie chart is really important, and I always emphasize it. So there are so many colors in their pie charts, and I will send you the link. You'll show it to our viewers. So 30% is this color, pink or whatever, is people. And then you have the mega corporations at 19, 20%. Then it says 5% of their money comes from the government, okay? So government is paying money to the NPR. Then they put foundations, which are the same people as the mega corporations. They shouldn't really distinguish between the two. So where does George Soros' money come from? You know, Rockefeller, Hewlett Packard, all those jerks. So that's another big chunk there. Then they put all these private universities, you know, from Harvard to this and that. And then you look at that chart and all the different colors and the amount. Our pie chart is going to be all one color. So it's going to be whatever is the color. If it's blue, it's blue. There are no slices there. It's 100% public funded, 100% people funded, meaning we are not going to, and we did the same thing with the Boiling Frogs post. We want to do it in a much larger scale. San Bernardino happened. We already have several people. We are going to have more. What I refer to just like Pepe is going to be our roving cameraman. So the nearest person to that location is going to hop on the plane or drive 60 miles or 40 miles. And we want our cameraman or woman, and our reporters going and interviewing the witness ourselves. I'm so tired of being dependent on other you know, on other people's reporting. I want to get it directly and present it to our audience. And nowadays, from what I hear, because I'm old, this new technology that you can have this Canon, I believe. I don't think it was Sony. I think it's Canon. And as you are recording it, it streams via YouTube. It's the real time. So on the ground, you can have that kind of reporting coming rather than what we saw being reported with San Bernardino. And there are hundreds, thousands of examples like that. Same thing with internationally. Peter, Pepe, and I were talking about this, and Pepe Escobar, he's going to be one of our international investigative journalists, and Pepe said that, well, let's say he wants to go to Syria and Yemen. Well, he needs to have a translator. He needs to have a camera person. He has some contacts, let's say, in Lebanon. Well, who's going to provide the resources for the plane tickets, for getting there, for hiring the people that you need to have in order to provide to the people directly, without bias, real reporting from the grounds, from Yemen, from Syria, from northern Iraq, and say, here is the real reporting coming from real investigative journalists, funded by the people, and is coming back to the people. And I guess the motto here would be, with all these people, alternative, pseudo-alternative media and the mainstream media, they have made people, us, we the people, irrelevant. We are not even in the equation, okay? It's about that 1%. It's not even 1%. If you look at that, 1% is really blowing it out. It's much smaller than 1%. And what we want to do as the people, we want to make them irrelevant, okay? So instead of being grumpy and all the time talk about how bad they are, let's just make them irrelevant, okay?
And speaking of Pepe Escobar, we have him right here. Why don't we ask him ourselves, Pepe, how did you get involved with NewsBud, and what is your role going to be with this new media venture?
Well, it's an honor, and I'm very pleased to be involved with two people that are not only friends, but that I deeply respect, Sibel and Peter. And the other ones that I don't know, but it's an amazingly elastic cast of generations, which is fantastic. I love working with younger people, especially. And for me, it's very, very important. You come to a certain age where there are not many winning horses around to bet, right? I've just emerged from a fantastic experience, but in the end, like most love affairs, ended very badly. With Asia Times Online, the defunct Asia Times Online doesn't exist anymore. What's going on now? It's a joke, frankly. And I was involved not only throughout the long period from 2000 to 2014 of Asia Times Online, when we managed to introduce the brand globally, a respected brand globally. And as the roving correspondent, I was the face of Asia Times all over the world, literally, everywhere. So I was always the guy from Asia Times. And the problem is we were depending on an outdated model. We depended on one benefactor, in fact. Our Google ads were, you know, less than, 5% of our revenues, maybe 7%, 8%. And our benefactor, it's a Chinese Thai tycoon. Progressively, he got involved in myriad political, legal, administrative, managerial, economic, and very, very serious problems. And obviously, our funds disappeared completely at the end of 2013. When I was prepared to establish myself in Hong Kong for good, I was even renting an apartment, which is, in my case, is a huge step for a nomad. And I got a call from his secretary saying that Asia Times Online would be dead. So, you know, two or three of us, we tried everything to put it back together. We kept going for another year, 2014, without being paid, by the way. In my case, it amounted to 14 months of salary, which you can imagine is a small fortune. Our network of correspondents, 50 plus, they stopped being paid as well. So we lost them all. But we kept going. Maybe this could be saved. In the end, it was not. It was bought by a bunch of bankers. I cannot get into details because there are many legal and financial issues pending. And obviously, they turned it around into a nondescript site. And basically, they turn over the company sooner or later and make a profit out of it. That's the gist of the story. So I emerge out of it. And just as I was emerging from this, the last few months were very, very sad and painful, in fact. NewsBud was being born. And then I learned it from Sibel and Peter. And they invite me to be part of it, which for me, it opens an absolutely, it's a new territory. And at the same time, it's a continuation of what we were trying to do at Asia Times, online. When Asia Times Online existed, and you can go back and look at our records on the net, we published everything. We were open to everything. We had from neocons to the unofficial spokesman of Kim Jong-il at the time. Publishing at Asia Times. I managed to attract a collection of first-rate writers for us as well in the past few years. And then obviously they had to leave because they were not getting paid. And now with the new architecture organized by Sibel, essentially, it's financed by the viewers and readers, supported by the viewers and readers. So it's basically you, all of you, who are going to decide if we live or if we die and how we're going to live and the stories that really matter to all of you. So my role will be to keep more or less doing what I've been doing this past 15 years, which is to tell the story of Eurasia. Bits and pieces here and there, but basically it's the drama inside Eurasia all over, and now the integration, the big opera of the future, which is this vast integration across Eurasia, the new Silk Road, the Eurasian Economic Union, the integration of Iran, and not only to the rest of Asia, but to international markets, the interaction, of course, between the U.S. and NATO, the West, with the re-emergence of Eurasia, which used to be the center of the world for millennia. We can never forget that. So the fact that I'll be able to do this inside NewsBud is it's like a rebirth, and for me, it's a personal renaissance as well.
Okay, Sibel, we have Peter, obviously. We have Pepe. Obviously, you're going to be republishing Corbett Report content. Who else is going to be on board with this?
Well, we have seasoned investigative journalist. I've been his fan since 2003, 2004. Bill Conroy, he is one of very, very, very few courageous investigative journalists in this country. And I would say, if you were to go and explore and investigate and search, you would not find even four other people with this guy's track record. And it's not only his professional journalism qualifications, which he's been doing for the past 30 plus years. But what to me is the most important aspect is he's the man who has a track record that speaks for itself, okay? Integrity. He's been independent-minded, and he has shown integrity for 30 plus years. To me, that is one of the most important qualifications. In some cases, Bill Conroy had government people showing up trying to get his sources. And even when his editors pressured him to give the names or provide the government agents with the information, he refused. Said, okay, if you want to take away my job, I will. And if you want to take me to court, I will. I cannot count five reporters in this country today who would do that. I mean, I'm not going to even get into that Judith Miller. But so he's going to cover national stories, investigative stories nationally. We have Pepe Escobar, of course. We are going to have podcast producers. Pierce Redman is on board. We have several analysts with regional expertise. For example, we have Professor Kovacevic. He speaks four languages, including Russian, and his expertise are around the Balkans, Eastern Europe, that area, and Russia. We have Christoph German, of course. Your viewers are familiar with him, and he's been with us for the past 2 years, and his expertise is Central Asia and Caucasus. We have this great producer, roving cameraman, Spiros Skouras, and he's with us. We have several columnists, and I have been talking with several other reporters and producers. I am not ready to announce their names because currently they are employed. And when the time comes with the people's support, they want to be able to say hasta la vista and quit and come on board and be part of our teams. Of course, we have editorial cartoonist, multiple award-winning Paul Jamiel. And we have several researcher bloggers with really solid track record out there. And I would say some of our people may be left-leaning. Some of our people are right-leaning. We have some people who are anarchists and libertarians. But I have to say this, all our people are nonpartisan. We don't have partisan people. We don't have this naive, I go for this party and I vote kinds of people. And that, again, is really, really important. We don't want to have that kind of agenda pandering. And it's amazing how that happens. Even people who consider themselves, oh, I'm neutral, I can be neutral. I understand nobody can be 100% neutral. I can't be 100% neutral. There is no such a thing as unbiased reporting. We all have certain biases. Some of the biases we don't even realize that we have. So to say it's 100% bias-free, that is going to really, it's like a Pollyanna thing. I have all sorts of biases, I'm sure. And if I were to think about it, I would say, oh, they are stemming from this and this and my background, etc. We all do. So I won't call it this unbiased, but it would be not pandering to any of the power players, be it the mega corporations, be it the government, be it the clownish candidates we are seeing. I don't care if it's Trump or if it's Hillary Clinton, to keep things, basically to keep things real. And that's one of the things you don't see. You see so much, you know, that smoke that is pumped inside a room and all these mirrors and that's not going to be the case with our organization. And that is if people support us.
Well, that's the key. That's the rub, as they say. So let's get down to nuts and bolts. How do people support? If people are interested, how do they find out more information? What can people do about this?
Well, we have exactly 1 month to our fundraising. It's going to be launched in either Kickstarter or one of the crowdfunding platforms. But our platform is going to be all or nothing. So it's not going to be the minimum we need to raise is this much people. And even if we make only 10% of it, we're going to take that money. I consider, and I know some people are going to get offended, and that's another thing. I don't care. It is the truth. I consider it unethical. I consider it immoral because you're not going to deliver what you're promising. Why are you getting that money? To me, it's like thievery. So it's the all or nothing model. And that amount, and that's going to go for 60 days, our Kickstarter, that amount is going to help us set up. We're going to have a multi-platform web developed for us, website. We're going to have our mobile app, and we're going to have an office. We are going to have a studio. Peter V here is going to have a studio. There's going to be a travel budget set. We're going to be hiring our people and be able to pay them salaries, whether they are part-time or they are contract or they are full-time, and be operational to show people what we are able to deliver. And meanwhile, try to build our supporters with something, I don't know, $1 a month subscription. And let us go for 1 year. And by then, if we are doing what we are supposed to be doing, and if we are doing it good, and people like us, and people say, I like this, I do see integrity, okay? This place, this platform really is something that I want to support, then with their support, we continue. We don't. They can say, out.
All right. Well, that's the appeal. And I think people will have some sense of what the scale and scope of what we're going for here. Peter, any thoughts that you'd like to leave the viewers or listeners with appeals for their support on this matter?
Well, as Sibel mentioned, we are building to our launch of the crowdfunding campaign, which will be on Valentine's Day. And we're going to be doing a live streaming video telethon that day. So I'm looking forward to that. In the meantime, I want to invite people to send us, if you haven't already, your email address. You can go to boilingfrogspost.com and fill out a little form. We guarantee you your information is not going to be traded or given to anybody else. It'll only be used for communications from NewsBud. But we need to build our list of supporters so that when we launch the crowdfunding, we have a base that will then reach out to its contacts in the social media fashion. So I just want to ask people to begin spreading the word that NewsBud is coming, that it's going to be completely funded by the public, and so we need support from everyone who views this and other podcasts. And we also need to access your networks of people who are hungry for this kind of news and information, and people who recognize that it's not readily available, particularly in the United States today. So that's what I would like to add here, and I want to encourage everyone who wants to see a real change in media to join this effort to build NewsBud. And if it all works out with your support, we're going to be launching in September, right as we roll into the final stage of the presidential campaign. And we're not going to be distracted by the media circus and whoever Donald Trump flipped off today. We're going to focus on the things that really matter and continue to honor whistleblowers and expose government corruption and conflicts of interest and outright fraud, so that our viewers will be best informed as we head into the critical election of 2016 and well beyond that.
All right. So, Pepe, is there anything that you'd like to say to the viewers out there that are thinking about supporting a venture like this but not sure if they want to or if it's important to do so? What would you tell the people who are sitting on the fence about this?
Look, I would tell everybody, new generation, millennials, older generations, baby boomers, you name it, there are patches of progressive thinking and critical thinking and deep analysis, meaningful analysis all over the net. NewsBud is a new one. It's very ambitious because it aims to be one of the key poles of critical thinking and analysis on the net, not only for an American audience, the stories that you never read in the mainstream media in the U.S., but for an international audience as well. We have even started talking about the possibility, as soon as it's possible, to start translating a lot of stuff on news, but to three or four major languages around the world. And I'm sure we're going to have readers and viewers all over the world who would come up with their own strategies to translate our work. So it is essential, especially because it's completely independent. I come from an old school of old school daily journalism. So I know corporate media from the inside. I work for big papers inside the newsroom and as a foreign correspondent. Don't try to even understand how vicious this world is. It's absolutely disgusting. I left it a long time ago. I left it in 1999, to be exact. And I've been online independently since 2000. And most of the time, and since practically since 2000 with Asia Times Online. So my experience online working independently, it's going to be very helpful for, you know, apart from everybody else in the group, for how NewsBud is going to develop. And obviously, our only interest, there are no hidden agendas, there are no corporate interests, there are no Koch brothers or Adelsons or whatever behind it, or foreign policy agendas for that matter. Is the most important story is the way they should be told, delivered the unfiltered directly to an international audience, especially an American audience. So it's very hard to beat an idea like this, isn't it?
And there is an email list that people can sign up to if they want updates and information?
Absolutely. And we'll provide it with your YouTube posting for this program. It will be at Boiling Frogs Post. We have it both on our YouTube channel when we post this. And it is about that because As I said, one of the topics that you have been talking about, James, has been how people are feeling powerless, you know, the learned helplessness. Well, the current media landscape, both the pseudo alternatives and the mainstream media, they have done a huge amount of work in making that happen. Even with that hazard story that we covered, or some of the, you know, the story you mentioned about Gulen's giving money to these lobbyists, U.S. lobbyists, and also to these congressional people on the junket trips, etc. Even the way they report these stories is that you know how a lot of people say it is the way it is. That's how they report it. That's the way it is, you know. And here it is. We let you know they're corrupt because there's nothing you can do, kind of a thing. As if we report it, you know about it. That's even worse than actually censorship, because they're saying these are the realities. Every day, look at it. So you consider this as the norm. This is normal, okay? It doesn't say anything about all the rights people have and all the things people can do about their congressional people who are getting these foreign briberies, etc. So that's why I mean by empowering media instead of this learned helplessness promoting media. That's what we are going to have. This is going to be a one-of-a-kind media platform. I have researched. I have searched the net. I have searched everywhere. I haven't seen anything like this. And people coming and joining with the email list and saying, I'm interested in this, whether I'm going to donate $1 or $100, or I'm going to put the word out. Maybe I can't donate, but I know someone else who may support it in such a way. All these supports we need. And people shouldn't forget, the reason I mentioned that all these are ran, these media platforms, based on that less than 1%. They underestimate their power, people. We do underestimate our power. Why can't we just say, oh yeah, those big rich guys own this? Well, think about 150,000 of us. Think about what we can do, 500,000 of us. We can triple the amount of money they are giving to the alternative media. We can have 5 times more resources. And we can give them the finger and say, what are you going to do now? You know, but the way these mediums are putting the information is out there. They are trying to push people successfully out of the equation. These are the realities. It's corrupt. They are sickos and pedophiles in Congress. $5 billion was unaccounted for in Pentagon that went to Afghanistan. And you guys, you people, you are nothing. You can't do anything about it. Pooh, that is their attitude. And it is time for us to make them irrelevant. And that's what I've been waiting. That's what I've been working towards. I think everything that I have done since my whistleblowing journey began in 2002, I guess everything has been leading me towards this. And I know, rightfully, James, you have brought up issues like, what happens when you start structuring things and putting hierarchies and the personalities collapses, or there's some authoritarian? Hopefully, I mean, ideally, this is exactly what I want to prevent. Am I going to be successful? Are we going to be successful? Looking at what we have accomplished with Boiling Frogs Post, giving editorial freedom, you know, to our people, being able to contain multiple philosophies and point of views without, you know, clashing with each other, I think we have proved that, yes, we can. But are there going to be some snags and some glitches there? I am sure, because the hardest thing, and I had promised myself, you and I have talked about it, when I tried to do NSWBC, National Security Whistleblowers Coalition, I said I would never be in a management. I don't like management. I don't like those hierarchies, board of advisors, board of directors. I don't like these meddling and these personality conflicts. So our platform is going to be, yes, we're going to be within this platform. However, our people are going to maintain their independence. Peter is independent. I have never told Peter what to have a show on or how long of a show, who to have on. Peter is his own person. He's my partner. He produces, he selects, he has 100% editorial freedom, okay? Now, will we have fact checkers, for example, for our investigative stories? Yes. That, I have to say, I want to have a second eye to go through it and make sure that we won't have egg in our face that something is not accurate. But that's different than micromanaging and say, don't report on this story or report on this story. Don't have this witness. This witness is a disgruntled, you know, disgruntled government whistleblowers, you know, all these plays that they engage in, Peter. Oh, Sybelle Edmonds, whistleblowers. Yeah, well, you know, what do you expect? She's disgruntled, or that whistleblower is disgruntled. That's why they are saying these about these agencies. We are not going to have that. So we are going to maintain our independence. And but yes, to a certain degree, we are going to have structure in place for fact checking, for promptness. For example, if we say this show is going to be at this day, it's going to be on that day, you know, or all those important ingredients that separates the professional journalism for journalism as a hobby. So we're gonna strike a balance. So again, I'm going to ask people, please sign up, add your voice, add your name, add your email address. We are going to protect your privacy. We'll provide you with updates and mark your calendar for February 14th, Sunday, Valentine's Day. It's called NewsBud. Give us a bud for Valentine's Day on that Sunday. Give this platform, give this 100% people-funded platform a chance, because we haven't had it. And otherwise, we don't have the right to complain. When we have the opportunity, if we don't support it, then we don't have the right to come and constantly nag and bitch about, oh, how bad this is and how bad that is. Here's an opportunity. We can make it happen together. All of us together will make it happen. That much I believe. Now it depends on people, how much do you want it and how much you're willing to do to support us so we can do this collectively.
Well, it is, I guess, increasingly a stark choice between the Ringling Brothers Three Circus Media or the people-powered media, and it is a choice that's going to be in the hands of everyone who's listening to or watching this conversation. So I hope people will go and join the email update news list. Again, we'll have that link in the notes along with some of the other things that we've talked about. And again, we'll just have to put it out there for the people. Get February 14th circled on your calendar, and we'll kick things off in earnest at that point, and there will be more information not only here in this forum, but also, of course, at boilingfrogspost.com in the coming weeks. There's also, I think we should direct people's attention to a recent conversation that you and Peter and Pepe had by yourselves on this as well. So we'll direct that and put that in the show notes. Okay, lots of information to get people started. I'm sure there will be lots of comments and questions, and we invite and encourage your feedback and participation as always. And we'll leave it there for now. Sybelle, Pepe, Peter, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, James.